Well, Lori and I certainly, sincerely appreciate all of you, love you very much for the things that God is doing in your life, and just being a part of this team of what he's doing here at Spirit Life Church. He is preparing us for some new outreaches and harvests, and by the time you get through this next semester, you're going to understand how important and how valuable you are to doing the work of God. And you're going to, sometimes people get involved in the work of the ministry and they go, I never thought I would be the one to be used by God in such a way. And yet God wants to know that every single one of you is valuable and important. So I won't make any more announcements but on things except that this Sunday is really huge. If you can get here a few minutes early, greet people that are coming in. Let there be a lot of anticipation and excitement as the bishop comes here. Really open up our hearts to what he has to say. And then, of course, if you can stay, we would love to have everybody stay for lunch so that he could just continue to pour into this church, because this church is a leadership church. It's a church that goes beyond just the pastor doing everything and everybody watching the pastors do everything. I mean, we are training literally every member that we can possibly get our hands on at Spirit Life Church to fulfill their role, their function, and their calling. And so part of that luncheon is really meant to give you that impartation from somebody who's a pastor of pastors. And many times he'll do a Q&A and have, it'll just be a wonderful time. And then at the end of the month, there is that Kids Fall Festival. More information to come. You can always call Pastor Lori and find out more information about how that's going to work. But we have a dinner show that starts at 1, pure presentation of the gospel through illustrations and music and puppets and dance, and then we all come down here to fellowship together around pizza, and then there's games. The Aldapes have provided some games for an hour after that. So there's going to be hundreds of these things if you'd like to pass them out to the neighborhood, mainly friends, but definitely the families that are a part of this church. Just come on out and fellowship together, and bring the friends and the and the family that you have with you. Thank you, Lord. We ask tonight that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts directly what we need to hear. And we pray that, Lord God, that your word is like fire, and our hearts and spirits are like wood, and that they would just be ignited with the things that you've called us to do. As we've launched into this new series, this new semester, where we're talking about being a team, we're talking about being the body, that you would reveal to us our part and how to function in that body, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The way we're planning on this next semester is to take all the things that we have learned about your spiritual gifts and then begin to go through this learning curve of how to find the right fit for you. Now, many of you are fit. Many of you can be promoted, because if you're faithful over little, maybe you'll be promoted over more. But here's how this will look. Each Wednesday night, we will meet here like we always do, but there may be some things that are a little bit different. How many of you know change can be good? Okay, we don't want to get into a rut, but we do want to ask you to be very faithful at that 7 o'clock time so that we can begin, and Lori and I are going to do our best to try to be out of here at 8:15, so that way, you know, there's some respect for families and so forth. Is there childcare? Ages 1 to 6, if necessary. Okay, so that's part of it. And then, like Pastor Lori said, we have a mandate that we feel like we need to relaunch the prayer and praise nights once the first Wednesday of the month. And so that means that what I'd like to ask many of you to do, if it's possible, is to take that Wednesday and spend some time in fasting and in prayer, and really come out that night and believe God for some supernatural miracles and for some things that God is doing in all of our lives. And that is kind of more of a night where it's not more of an outreach, it's more of an inreach, you know, on those Wednesday nights where we really get into the presence of God. Again, 7 to 8:15 is when we're planning on doing that. I am so blessed, like Pastor Lori said, by all of your diligence that as you went through this last semester. Give yourselves a hand clap. Just give yourselves a hand clap. You just have made some awesome choices to sit under the Word of God, and it gave us the confidence and the impotence to be able to say, I think that this church wants to go to the next level, because one of the things that we're going to teach you tonight is that the church is a team, okay? The church functions as a team, and nobody functions alone. Somebody said, if you think you are the entire picture, you will never see the big picture. And we're going to talk about the fact that the goal is much more important than the role. So we all play a part, and you have the things that we're going to teach you are about the importance of what team players are like, what the team players are. Yes, did you get the handouts? All right. Nobody got a handout? Okay. Who does not have a handout? Pastor Lori does not have a handout. Okay. Yeah, the way we put this is, you know, everything's usually back there and so forth. But let me say this, as we begin to talk about teamwork, because there's two words there, team and work, that conjure up some ideas in our head, okay? The fact that we don't do things alone. And then the second part of that word is work, which is another thing that we're going to be talking about. But teamwork does make the dream work. And we'll be talking about that because that's the title of my message tonight, maybe this entire series. But we have been very blessed by being with a group of people who have sat under the Word of God and have grown so much and have listened so intently and have been so, if I can use this word, you know, really subordinate or submissive to the Scriptures that are taught. And I really believe that's the way that God empowers us. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have opportunities to grow, because there's always opportunities to grow. In fact, sometimes we'll learn something here, 2 months later we'll go, ah, now, and all of a sudden you can apply it. We call that a teachable moment, okay? The thing that I wanted to encourage you all tonight to say is this, that this is not just a Bible school or a school of ministry. This next semester is going to help you in every relationship you have, because you do teamwork at home with your spouses, you do teamwork on the job, you do teamwork wherever you go. This is going on. So you're going to learn biblical principles that are going to help promote you and help promote your marriage, with your family, with your jobs, and that whole thing. But I want you to know and understand just how valuable you are to God as we start out with doing this. Okay? This is not Pastor Tom just trying to get a lot of Indians and be a big chief, all right? This is not what this is about. What this is about, and you'll find out here in a minute, is this is about everybody finding their fit so that you are in the niche, you are in the place that you can do the best that you can possibly do. And I just want you to know how valuable you are, and if you are taking notes, or if these are in your notes, open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. To me, this is one of the most inspiring verses in the Word of God that regarding my our value in Christ. And it says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, or before the foundation of the world, that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship. That Greek word literally means, or literally is, poiema. If I'm pronouncing it right, poiema, which is where we get the word poem from. But literally, one of the definitions of the word poema in the Greek is tapestry. Tapestry. And so what's happening here in a tapestry is there's all kinds of pieces coming together that make up what your life looks like. And if you've ever had a tapestry, most of the time you look at the front of the tapestry. That's all pretty, right? But if you look behind, you see all the strings hanging down and so forth, you know, and the knots and everything like that. Sometimes we have a tendency to look at our lives underneath the tapestry and not to see the tapestry the way God has designed it. And so we feel inadequate, or we feel like we're not good enough or so forth. And he says here, he created you in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And in other words, they're already set. All you have to do is get on the path of what he has for you to do, and you'll be able to walk in those good works. So he's created you as a literal poem, a tapestry, a work of art, somebody would say. Okay? Just look at somebody and say, you are a piece of work. You are a piece of work. Does anybody have the Amplified Bible? If you have it open to that right now, just let me grab your Amplified Bible and read it to everybody. Excellent. Ephesians 8:10. Ephesians, you're reading, 2:10. Yeah, you are reading in the right spot. I always say, you know, clean Bible, dirty heart. She's got a clean heart. I can hardly read this. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he hath prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Thank you, Janine. Thank you. So there's a plan, there's a blueprint. Many people call it, there's a lot of different names for it. There's a destiny. You know, there's a dream that God has given you. But may I say this about everybody's dream? We can all have a destiny, we can all have a dream, all right? But one is too small of a number for greatness. One is too small of a number to fulfill your dream. If your dream is anything worthwhile, you need a team to fulfill your dream. Now, God has a dream, and Jesus gave the dream to us, which I'm going to read to you in a minute. He gave the church his dream to carry out, and he doesn't want us to use our spiritual gifts to go off and just build our own dream or our own kingdom. He's expecting that when the talents he's given you, the gifts he's given you, the callings he's given you, the dreams he's given you, they are to be strategically used for building the local church, building the church that Jesus is building, and letting the world see what Jesus is actually like. So when God created you, number one, when God created you, first of all, make a note of this. He didn't make any mistakes. He did not make any mistakes. People will point out mistakes. We'll point out our own mistakes. We'll make mistakes. But God, when he created you, he did not make any mistakes. He created you exactly the way he wanted to create you. His plan for you is this. It's to reflect his very image on this earth. He didn't call you to reflect your own image. He didn't call you to reflect somebody else's image. He called us as a body to reflect his image in the earth. I know I got another scripture here in just a minute that will help you. But in Jeremiah 1, verse 5, from the NIV, it says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now that could be I set you apart and I appointed you to do whatever your mission is on the earth, whatever your calling is, whatever your gifting is. He sets you apart for that. He puts you apart for that, and that's like saying God has got a part. He set you apart. He took you away from all this other stuff, and now he's placed you in a place of service so that you can be on a team that he is the leader of, that he is the head of, and he is the coach of. And he has coaches under him and so forth. But this, the big idea here is, verse 2, is every single one of you is an idea of God. How many of you know God's got some good ideas? All right? He didn't wake up and have an idea, a bad idea one day, and you were it. You were not one of the bad ideas because God's never had a bad idea. Okay? Other people have had bad ideas, and he's had to take them out, but he's never had a bad idea. And so you are an idea of God with a special plan, if you're writing notes there, with a special plan, blueprint, and a mission to carry out. And that's why there's only one of you. Because you were an idea, and he said, I only need one of them because everything that they need to fulfill who they are is going to be in them. Every gift that they need to fulfill who they are, it's in them. They are a work of art. The promises and the power and the things that God has, it's all over you. It's painted all over you. The glory of God literally is meant to be covering you so that wherever you go and whatever you do, there's a part of God that just kind of like leaves a trail that touches people, that serves people. There's a part of God that when we do what the things that we are called to do, supernatural things around us happen. Miraculous doors open. Favor comes our way. Sometimes money falls out of heaven. Sometimes money goes in the mailbox. Sometimes sometimes God promotes us in our jobs. Sometimes he promotes us with people. Sometimes he promotes us in the ministry. Whatever it is that God has for you, the number one word that I would say to you, if you want to become all God's called you to be, always, always, always be faithful. Be faithful no matter what it looks like. Be faithful no matter what it looks like. Because you are a special plan, a blueprint, and a mission to God, that God's given you to carry out. That's why there's only one of you. If there were two of you, my mom would say, one of you would be unnecessary. Right? Many of you have seen this little illustration, but I want to just use this to emphasize that you are valuable. How many of you know what this is? Well, specifically, it's a $10 bill. It's a real one. It's a real $10 bill. Okay. How many of you want this? So evidently, it's got some value to it, right? It does, right? I'm going to give this to somebody in here tonight, all right? But it may take just a few minutes for me to decide who wants it the worst, okay? If you would like this, I will give this to you if you want it. All right, well, that's nice. My daughter would like it. No conflict of interest there, but she buys her own clothes. But you know what? Sometimes in life, what happens to things that are valuable is they get all crumpled up and stepped on and mushed, you know? Got chewed on? Now listen, I'm gonna open this soggy $10 bill that does not have a rip in it, and how much is it worth? It's still valuable. How many of you feel like you've been through some pretty tough things in life that have caused you to become less valuable than you are? Okay? But this is just as valuable as before I did all the crinkling and throwing down the ground and spitting on it and grinding it into the ground. So, who wants it? It's good. Everybody wants it. There's only one way to get it. Now, for those of you who were cringing at the saliva thing, hey, if your eyes were blind and Jesus wanted to spit in them, okay, would that bother you? No, I don't think so. All right. So you are an idea of God. You are valuable to him. And no matter what life does to you, you still have the same value that God put on you at the beginning. Always remember that. Look at somebody and say, you are valuable. Number three, not only are you valuable to God, but listen to this. You are valuable to others. You are valuable to the body of Christ. Tonight there was some confusion or there was some difficulties in Sue Curtis getting here to help set up. So she made a phone call to Joyce, and Joyce picked up the ball and became valuable to our night here so that Joyce could come and pick up the ball when somebody else was, you know, being persecuted or had an accident or whatever. And so many times we need to understand that we're not only valuable to God, but we are valuable to the body of Christ. Because we need one another. We need one another. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And most of you are familiar with this because we've talked about it about 2 weeks ago. But I want to put this in the context of being valuable to the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. And I'll read this to you. It says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were a hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, here it is, each one of them in the body just as he pleased. Now let me just get something across to you. This is probably an obvious statement, but God does not let you choose where you fit into the body. He puts you into the body as it pleases him. And I think it's because he's got a better idea of where you fit than where you fit. Because when we try to fit somewhere, sometimes it's for reasons that we don't know or reasons that are self-serving. But God has a tapestry called the body of Christ that he is making, and he wants you to fit in a certain place so that you can help the person that is next to you, so that you can have a relationship with this person, that you can undergird them, that you can pray for them. And sometimes the members always don't look like they belong together. Sometimes they look like they're confused. But in God's eyes and in God's dimension, this becomes a team of people that can actually fulfill a mission that he has for us, which we'll tell you about what that mission is here in just a minute. So God has set the members. In fact, circle that or underline that. That may be in an exam down the road somewhere someday. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as it pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. Say there are many members. There are many members. There are members of the body of Christ that I don't know. There are members of the body of Christ that I see and I meet and I don't even understand. What is their function? What are you all about? And they ask me, yeah, what's your function? Or major malfunction. And I'll say, well, God's still working on me. God is still working on me. But God called me to be a part of the body. And if the eye could not say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now, the head is Jesus Christ. And it cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. And the foot's the lowest part, and the head is the one that makes all the decisions. And the head does not say to the foot, I have no need of you. Point taken, we all need every single member of the body of Christ functioning together, don't we? Amen. What we need to learn how to do is we need to learn how to function as a team. And so what we're going to do in the School of Ministry 201 is we are going to learn what our role is. Your gift discovery class was just the beginning. That thing will be talked about. We will be doing consultations. We will be doing some other things that will help you to really make sure that you know your place in the body of Christ. So we are going to, first of all, learn what our role is. We are going to learn how to function in that role in the body of Christ. And we are going to learn how we can work together in teams so that literally teamwork does make the dream work. God has a dream for his church, and I believe that he is going to fulfill it. All right, number four, let's throw the acronym in here. I think I've got this acronym. Everybody pretty much could fill this in for yourself, but it says, together, everyone achieves more. Mm-hmm. Team. Somebody said, there's no I in team. Michael Jordan said, there is I in win. But there is no I in team. Number four, God has designed each member in the body or of the body to use their spiritual gifts. God wastes nothing when he creates something. And you are his idea. He created you before the foundation. He prepared good works for you to walk in them. He does not waste any of that time. And so much of our time has been now taken up with so much stuff that we do that many times we're not even walking even close to the calling that we're in. And we need to, redeem the time, buy it back so that we can be about what the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to do. Now, just turn over to Acts chapter 6, because I want to explain to you something about why teamwork is so essential to the mission of the church. Acts chapter 6, and we'll go to verse 1. This is I think it's kind of a humorous story, but it's just the way people are. The church is getting going, right? Acts chapter 6, 1 to 4. I'm going to preach out of the New Living Translation here. And it says, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. Can you imagine that? This is the New Testament church. How many of you have ever heard, we need to get back to the New Testament church? Here they go. There were rumblings of discontent. I'm not going back there. I'm moving forward. The Greek-speaking believers complained against the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. Okay, an obvious problem here that needed to be resolved. So the 12 called a meeting together of all the believers, and they said, look, we apostles should spend our time teaching the Word of God, not running a food program. Okay, now that sounds, it sounds condescending, it sounds arrogant. I don't care how it sounds. The fact is, everybody has a role. Okay, everybody has a role, okay, and you need to know what that role is, because it's not about the role, it's about the goal. And God placed these apostles in the body of Christ as it pleased him. So what they had to learn is they had to learn how to raise up what we call servants, or what the Bible calls deacons, but servants, to put them on teams in order to carry out this work. And so here's how they did it. So, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected, full of the Spirit and wisdom. Other, you know, why don't you? Otherwise, there'd just be more fighting and disputing. And we will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the Word of God. How many of you know that there is a certain role that the senior leaders have, that the leaders have, that the other, that serving teams have? And what we're attempting to do is, as we teach you about teamwork and help you find out what your spiritual gift is, where you fit with your spiritual gift, what team you're going to be on, you are just going to love the place that God has put you, because you're going to be at such peace with, this is who God's created me to be. This is my, one of the words in Romans is called, this is my metron, or this is my realm of authority. Okay, everybody has a role of authority, where you have been given a vacuum cleaner, you've been given a paintbrush, you've been given a microphone, a keyboard, a soundboard, this or this. Everybody's been given something to do, or maybe you've been put on a team where you've been given the opportunity to greet people or do whatever work needs to be done around the church. And here are some things I'd like to say about this as we enter into this phase of learning about teamwork. We're going to love about teamwork. Some of the things about teamwork, you are absolutely going to love these things, because what it's going to do is it's going to give you the ability to experience a greater amount of God's anointing and ministry than you could by yourself. I believe you're going to love, if you're on the right team, you're going to love the camaraderie and the friendship and the relationships that you build by becoming better together than you would separately. Okay? And I just believe that together we're better. Brother Glenn Raven's favorite quote is, if you saw a turtle on a fence post, you knew he didn't get there all by himself. Okay. Now, you're going to love these connections, because you're going to make some friendships with people. You're going to be able to work together, and together you are going to achieve more. Now, there are some things that you may not love about teamwork. All right? It's the reason why there's things in life we don't like. There are some things that will cause you to stretch and grow out of your comfort zone by being on a team. They're going to cause you to stretch and grow. There's going to be some people who are on your team. They may not do the things the way you would want them to be done, or as fast as you would want them to be done. You'll have to put up with other people's weaknesses. You'll have to put up with other people's idiosyncrasies. you'll have to put up, well, this is the way, if you go through the Bible, there's a lot of scriptures that say, put up with one another. Okay? Well, if you're alone, you don't have to put up with anybody. And that's why there are a lot of people who do not participate in serving in the church because they just don't want to have to put up with anything. All right? But I believe you sacrifice the calling of God upon your life for the growth of the Spirit, for growing in what these conflicts produce. They produce in us a sense of, oh, maybe impatience or a sense of anxiety or the weaknesses start to come out of us. But what is meant to happen is that iron is meant to sharpen iron. And we can learn something from people. Plus, whenever you get into a situation where you're having a relational conflict, what happens is you find out what's going on the inside of you. What we want to do is go, well, here's what's wrong with that person. And really, it's probably not that person. It's just bringing out of you what needs to be renewed. Okay? The greatest example I can think of is two people who get married. Okay? You're single, da-da-da-da. All of a sudden, you get married, and nothing goes your way. So the vision for the School of Ministry is this. It is to get the right people in the right places, doing the right things with the right spirit, all going in the right direction. That's what it's for. So that's why I wrote that right there, bang, right in the middle of your notes there. And that's so that Spirit Life Church can be the right church, which is the church that Jesus is building. And as your leader, Pastor Lori and I, as your leaders, and as we submit to our leaders, the number one prayer that we want to pray is that you are in the right place, doing the right thing with the right spirit, with the right people. And that's what we're asking you to begin to really pray about. All right? So that we are functioning as a body. Functioning as a body. Because when one member of the body hurts, we all hurt. When one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. But yet when another member of the body rejoices, we should all rejoice. Does that make sense? Now, I've seen churches, let me just say this. Our ultimate goal, all right, when we do the placements, when we do the getting people in the right places, doing the right things with the right people, our ultimate goal is fulfilling God's mission. It is fulfilling God's mission, which is to reach the lost with God's love and ultimately invite them on the team to be trained to do the same. It's probably the most important thing I've said tonight, is that is the goal, that is the mission, is to reach the lost with God's love and ultimately invite them on the team to be trained to do the same thing. I've seen churches that are going in all kinds of different directions. They got the flavor of the month, they got the book of the month, they've got the program of the month, and you know what? It's endless. It's an endless gospel. But the only gospel I've ever read was reach the lost with the love of God and equip them to be on the team. Now, that's how animate I am about this, because although that there are streams and camps and mountains and rivers and lakes and, you know, all kinds of versions of everything that call themselves the church, you've got to have a team that knows the direction it's going. You know, that you have to have one vision or you're going to have division. Okay? So you can't have one person with some idea of what they think your church should be like and go, well, here's what I'd like to do. And we'll go, well, we'll set you off in that room, and you go that. And then this person go, well, you just use the sanctuary anytime you want. And then this person go, well, you can just use the telephones over here when you want. And then we've got thousands of people, and it's just chaos. Okay? And usually it's not for the vision of the church, because the vision of the church is for one thing, to reach the lost with God's love and invite them to be on the team to be trained to do the same thing. losing sight of the vision or adding to the vision something that they picked up from another ministry or from somebody's book, some people just have a lot of ideas. I mean, some people just have a lot of ideas. Okay? God's given us his idea. So the point is, everything that we do, if this is not in your notes, write this down. Everything that we do is based upon our mission. I mean, think about everything that we do at Spirit Life Church. And we do stuff. Some people say we're very busy. Others says, well, we're not real busy. Well, it's irrelevant how busy we are. What's relevant is whatever we do, does it fulfill the mission of the church? Does that make sense to you? Okay? And we have a mission that we're called to fulfill. All right? This is a church. All right? This isn't something else. This isn't a nightclub. All right? This isn't a restaurant. This isn't a this. This isn't a that. It's a church. And so we have to do what the local church is called to do. And so no matter what team you're on, everybody should be shooting for the same goal. Everyone's mission comes from the Great Commission, Matthew 8, 28, verses 19 and 20. Everyone's mission comes from the Great Commission. And you can go back and look that up later. Now, it could be all kinds of things. It could be you're cleaning the church. Well, how does cleaning the church have to? Hey, cleaning the church has to do with the mission of the church. Running sound has to do with the mission of the church. Greeting people at the door, helping people in the nursery or with the teens or the kids. It could be playing keyboards, serving coffee, folding the bulletins. It could be helping with the website. It could be running the slides in the back for the worship. It could be doing follow-up calls. It could be visiting people in the hospital. It could be picking them up for church. The list is endless. But it all needs to revolve around this is the reason why we do this. Okay? Now, the second semester of the School of Ministry, many of you will have the opportunity to become part of a team that will be given where you'll be given the opportunity to serve with your spiritual gifts on an appropriate team. That team, their vision will be the same vision as the church. So we're all going in the same direction. Okay? Ultimately, everything we do must accomplish mission. And so what Pastor Lori and I are going to do over the next few months is we are going to impart to you practical principles of teamwork. In other words, what to do. We are going to impart to you spiritual principles of teamwork. In other words, how to do them. We are going to, of course, give you philosophical principles that will give each of you the tools to work together in the body, which means that you will know why you do them. Okay? And then as you work on serving teams, those teams can function in unity together. The leaders of the serving teams, we function in unity together. Because we're not, it's not that one person gets the visibility one day in all of a sudden, another person gets the visibility the next day. It's about accomplishing mission. And so most of what you will learn in this next semester is about how to be a team player to fulfill the mission of the church. We'll teach you some of the essential qualities required to serve on a team. And I say essential qualities because there are some scriptures that require us to develop things like, if you're going to be on a team, like patience, like faithfulness, like communication, like flexibility, like dependability, like humility, like submission to authority, and I could go on and on and on of things that we learn that help us to become really, really good team players. And and you remember what Paul's constant warning to the church of Corinth was? I mean, he wore this one out. What was he constantly telling the Corinthian church in that mixed up church? Their number one problem? He tore his hair out over, I mean, they had a lot of problems, but he tore his hair out over this one more than anything else. Go back online and listen to the entire series. It was division. It was division. It was division for all kinds of reasons. They had their favorite preacher. They wanted to show off their gifts. They had this. They had this. Division. All right? Most of the time, it's because people think that the church revolves around them or the mission revolves around them. And it doesn't. It revolves around God's mission. So if we can get that in our heart, we'll be able to take a couple more steps forward and really impart some excellent principles of teamwork. So over the next few months, our mission from God is to turn each of you into an awesome team player who can possibly be and reflect God's image to this community. Now, let me read these last two scriptures, and then I'm going to finish. Psalm 133, 1-3, most of you are familiar with this. But it says, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in harmony or unity. For harmony and unity is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over the head of Aaron's, over Aaron's head that ran down his beard to the bottom of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Hermon that falls on the mountains. And there the Lord has pronounced the blessing. And last but not least, John 17, you know the high priestly prayer. He says, Jesus' dying prayer was that they may be one. And I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and that they also may be one in us. Watch this. Here's the mission, that the world may believe. And the glory or the image that we are to portray to the world, which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect or complete in one, that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And that's the whole purpose of teamwork. So if you would, for a minute, just bow your heads. Yes, Lori. I have a prayer that I want to pray, and it's out of the book by Tommy Tenney called God's Dream, A Call for Unity. And if you just bow your heads, I'll pray this, and you can just pray it quietly, silently. It says, Lord, we long to answer your prayer for unity so that the world will know that you are the Son of God and that you have come from the Father. Yet I know that we must begin with me, that we must begin with me. I want to make you Lord of my life and not merely call you Lord. Holy Spirit, I ask you to convict and perfect me so that I can accomplish what the Father has called me to do. Grant me and grant us the grace to walk in humility, considering others better than ourselves. May we look after the interests of others as carefully as we look after our own. Above all, may my attitude be as the same as yours, that of a humble servant. Father, forgive me for my selfish motives and my envy of others. Lord Jesus, let my heart be broken like your heart, and may I humble myself to serve others as faithfully as you serve us in your life, death, and resurrection. Let there be no division between me and my brethren. I pray that my kingdom would go so that your kingdom may come. May my will be broken so that your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, cause me to be single-minded and sure of your calling upon my life. May unity of heart and mind prevail in my home, in my community of friends and family, and in my local church and in the church around the world. as we focus upon you, our risen Lord, Master, King, and Savior. Break down the barriers that separate us and bind your people together again in your love. Rise up, raise up those among us who have fallen. Cause your compassion to stir our hearts and impregnate us with your purpose. May our chief loyalty be to you and to everyone who shares our common bloodline in the Lamb who was slain. May we work together in unity to lift you up before all men, Lord Jesus, so that they would be drawn to you and receive eternal life. O God, I covenant with you. Let us become one. Command your blessing upon us once again as we dwell, serve, dream, worship together in blessed unity. Yes, Lord, not my will, but yours. I pray these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name.
Pastor Tom and I want to take just a minute before we close and before you're dismissed to really honor you. We've had some talks the past couple days about how much we appreciate you, and we've talked about it. We've said what a fine church this is and what beautiful, strong leaders are here and servants, and we want you to know that from our heart personally, that we really feel that way, okay? We really feel that way, and we know you're doing everything to the best of your ability to accomplish God's vision. And we just are very thankful for you. That's the word, grateful. Grateful for this church. We're very grateful for you. And we see the very best and the biggest things possible for every one of you. And so we know that this church exists because you're doing the work. Really, you're doing the work. And we want you to know how thankful we are, because we don't get a chance really to tell you enough, but we're thankful for your leadership. We're thankful for your servanthood, for being armor bearers to us. We're so thankful. And we know that, you know, it's funny because I had to take care of some things today, and I got a phone call from Sue, and she said, this happened, and there was an accident, and I thought to myself, you know, I really can't get out there early enough to take care of everything, and I knew that it would fall on my shoulders if there was nobody that rose up. And Joyce rose up, and she took the bull by the horns and says, I'm going to go, and I'm going to do it. And, you know, it really made me realize how many times that happens, and we're not aware of it, all the different things that happen in different facets of the ministry where you're pulling the weight. You're really doing your part, and we're very, very grateful, because we can't do it. We have to do it together. And so we're very grateful, and we know that this teamwork is going to begin to really mushroom. And so individual teams will rise up, and the group leaders will take that and run with it. And it's going to be so much fun, because it's exciting to work together. It's exciting to see God's plan and his dream all come to pass. And thank you for doing the work. Thank you for really making it happen. So thank you. That's all. We just want you to know that, okay?
Amen. We love you so much.